Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I do have to start with a correction, if I may,
and yeah,
this
please.
Is a really important part of this recent episode. January 16th, the day that I got arrested, was the day that we formally announced my candidacy for President of the United States in 2020 on the platform of dissolving, in a peaceful, orderly manner, the entire United States federal government. Within minutes of our email announcement going out, I was pulled over for the first time.
So do you believe that these are connected? I don't know what to draw from this.
Well, 40 minutes later, I was pulled over again. And this is when things went really badly. And I think if you watch the videos, I always, when I can, I record police, mm-hmm. I broadcast. And incidentally, I was wearing a cop block hoodie at the time that on the front said, am I free to go? And on the back said, badges don't grant extra rights.
Right on.
I'll tell you, in the Wise County Jail, the other inmates loved that hoodie as I was getting in process.
I bet they did.
The second stop that resulted in the arrest was extremely suspect.
Was this state police who were doing it both times?
This is, yes, okay. Texas State Patrol.
Got it.
One possibility is, hey, it was all chance. It was all random. You just had one absurdly aggressive and moronic officer.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, he was given some direction. He was told, you need to find a way to arrest this guy.
Before you go on, was he involved in the initial stop, or was he the only, involved in the second one?
Only the second one.
So what happened in the first one, just briefly? They pulled you for some motor vehicle violation, warned you, ticketed you? What happened there?
They said it was for swerving and for having temp tags on the RV, and I got a warning.
All right.
And then, I think it's fair to conclude from this that when Officer Garcia stopped me, he was under direction from someone senior to him in government. And I'm not trying to, because there's some low-level explanations here, right? They're not saying Donald Trump is sitting in the White House going, oh, my gosh, we got to stop Kokesh, arrest him and make him look like a druggie before he even announces. You know, mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's what it is. But it's much more likely and that from the first stop, because I gave the officer a copy of my book. I always do that when I can, you know. Hey, here's some freedom. It's 100 pages. It'll show you how we can create a better world by dissolving government entirely, localizing it down to the community level. While I am technically running for president, it's much more accurate to say that I'm running for not president. And before we filed, we used that language to not just clarify that, but for legal protection. So when we were in this exploratory phase, we hadn't filed, and we were saying I'm running for not president. But the reason that's more accurate is that the very first thing I'm going to do is resign and become custodian of the federal government. This is going in like a bankruptcy agent. You know, if there wasn't a legitimate free market function to describe what I'm doing, then it would be an evil, coercive-based government-type function. So I'm not doing this to be president. What we are doing with this campaign is turning the United States presidential election into a referendum on whether or not the federal government should be allowed to continue to exist at all, or if we want to put in this specific plan that is my platform, that is the dissolution in a peaceful, orderly, responsible manner, all laid out in this single executive order. And this is the kind of thing that people wake up to. And I just want to emphasize what you said, that this is, if this was an attempt to slow me down or hinder me in any way or even to defame me somehow, it completely backfired on whoever was behind it. Because like libertarianism itself, you know, based on a message of peace and love and self-ownership and voluntarism, all of these concepts.
As part of your plan, I mean, it sounds pretty great, you know, but I think you'd be probably wasting your time.
Why?
And the reason is because the United States Federal Corporation, because that's what it is, it's a for-profit and gain corporation, and not just that, it's actually a private membership association, and it's, you know, a lot of disinformation has gone out there from CIA and such, but the United States Corporation is actually owned by the monarch in Netherlands.
Oh, this is getting into a conspiracy theory. Adam, your thoughts on...
I'd like to answer that, Adam, before you get any further, and we can go back to you. I don't want to cut you off. But there are a number of objections to this campaign, to this platform, that are raised this way. And the answer is always the same. If this is an idea whose time has come, and the American people, in a consensus process, decide we are not going to allow the federal government to continue to exist anymore. First, this idea of localization of government. This is how libertarians apply our principles to lead even people who do not agree with us, who do not share our particular vision, which we generally can't even agree on amongst ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. But the idea of getting government down to the community level, localization, is what I call the everybody gets what they want strategy. You want to be independent on your homestead on 10 acres in the middle of nowhere? No one's going to bother you. You want a community where this happens, where that happens? You want a community with no drugs? You want a community with welfare? You want a as long as you're not forcing it on anybody, you're not forcing it on your neighboring communities, this way everybody gets what they want. And about this campaign of dissolving the federal government, it's about getting this message in front of every single American over the next few years. He's in the RV.
Right.
And the hit from the drug dog is the drug dog looking at the door of the RV while Baloo's there going, you know, and all excited, you know, that there's another dog there. So, I mean, that just a lot, like they could have taken Baloo out of the RV first. And then they might have had a credible probable cause. Possibly.
Well, drug dogs are
many other little things.
Drug dogs are really not very good indications of whether or not there are drugs in a particular place, because what they often
they're probable cause generators is what they are.
That's what they are. Yes, yeah. They were going to find some other way to get in your vehicle if that's what they wanted to do. For sure.
Exactly.
So they went in there. They searched around. They allegedly found something, and you got arrested. Then they took you presumably to, was it the station or straight to jail? What happened then?
Yeah, straight to the Wise County Jail. And it really, you know, we talk about this, people who don't live in places like Texas or Oklahoma or you know, others, the states that still have really draconian drug law practices, but it really is disgusting. It really is a horrific shakedown racket from top to bottom. And you know, the guys who I met in jail, just to hear some of their stories, like guy got busted for, he got half a gram in his vehicle. As to the charges, honestly, I don't know exactly, and I've seen different accounts. And while I was in jail, I actually saw Fox 4 local news tell me what my charges were. I've seen two or three different versions now from people who have looked this up online and from different paperwork. But the most offensive civil rights violation that I experienced in all this, aside from like having my RV, you know, ransacked and turned inside out and, you know, being violated in so many ways, but that I was in jail for 10 days, and every single day I asked for paperwork. I asked to be presented with charges. I asked to be provided with a police report. I asked to be provided with everything that I'm legally entitled to. And in 10 days, I did not receive a single piece of paper from the government regarding my arrest or detention.
Out of control.
So, and that's just one of the many things that we're going to be suing for.
Okay.
And one of the things that's cool about this, and I pledged in a podcast that I did from jail, that of all of the lawsuits that we're going to file, that everything that comes out of this, of all the money that we get, I am not going to take a single penny for myself or any of my political causes.
And actually, right now, you're not the only, civilly disobedient liberty activist. Damo Freeman from CopBlock.org is also facing serious marijuana felony charges in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And ironically enough, his trial date is going to be on 419 and 420 coming up here this year. So you and he are going to be taking on the state as it continues in these states like Ohio and Texas, where they're going to keep on keeping on and try to crush even, you know, plain old marijuana possession, because that's just how it was in California. Remember after 1996, when the historic medical provisions in California passed, it took several years before the sheriffs and everybody kind of got beaten back and stopped raiding people, even though it was completely illegal for them to do so. So the state just goes all in as far as it can until it finally has
to
stop.
The police officers just enforce the law, Ian. Are you suggesting that they just do whatever the hell they want sometimes?
Yeah. They do whatever they want because there's no punishment for them almost any time they break the law.
And I don't think that this is the cop on the beat generally. I think oftentimes this is something that comes from the top, the brass, the management.
Or the narc squads. The narc squads. They're teams, of, especially in big cities, of just real jerks.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and they're the ones that go out. And
management puts them on that squad, too.
I want to talk about due process.
All right.
I want to talk about the Constitution that we cherish so much and think it provides for us. It provides nothing. It does,
oh, I don't cherish the Constitution. I used to be, you know, I used to think it meant something, but then I realized it's really just a piece of paper written by criminals.
You can point at it, but speedy means different things to different people.
Offers specifies certain rights, but then it turns right around and says neither life, liberty, or property can be taken away without due process. That makes it so that they can take your life with due process and it's susceptible to anything. So when you talk about a person being arrested or having anything done to them, there's no recourse they really have against what the government can do for you, because the due process, you see a lawyer's library, all those books are statutes made up by our legislature to do anything they want. They can have any law they want. They're the most the state legislature, in fact, is the most powerful government on this planet, when you think about it.
I'm not saying the Constitution was a bad try. Like, for its time period, it was a very important piece of work.
And, yeah, I would agree.
And it had its
place. But we don't
live
by the Magna Carta now either. Right. We don't revere it.
It had its place, and some of the concepts in there are still valuable ideas. It's just, unfortunately, there's no real way to assure freedom of speech without constant court fights. You know, the ACLU is constantly in court fighting for freedom of speech in a variety of different cases. You know, there's no way to assure an accountable government because they're constantly trying to hide. They're constantly trying to arrest people who, you know, video record them and things like that. And the reason why we, you know, again, these great attorneys have to go and take these cases on is because the government police and the other government agencies are constantly pushing the envelope, because there's no pushback whenever it is they lose.
Well, they're incentive.
They can just try again and again and again.
Their incentive is to push the envelope.
Yeah, because more power and money.
There's no incentive for the individual law enforcement officer to stay within the bounds of the Constitution.
Right. They don't get an award for that.
Yeah, likely they do, and that's a pink slip. Right. Like, ultimately,
you don't have enough arrests.
If you looked at the Constitution, especially if you're a federal law enforcement officer, and you said, hey, you know, this whole war on drugs, this is unconstitutional. Why in the world did we have to get a constitutional amendment to make alcohol illegal in America, but we didn't need a constitutional amendment to make marijuana illegal?
I'm a freedom-loving police officer, if you can believe that.
Oh, I believe it. Absolutely. There's people I found out about the ideas of liberty from were law enforcement officers. Absolutely.
I'm a rookie officer, and when I swore myself in, and swore an oath to the Constitution, I felt a very heavy burden. So I feel like it's a big responsibility of mine to uphold it. You mentioned something earlier about kind of the pay to play in the criminal justice system when it comes to defense attorneys versus public defenders. I'm wondering how we can alleviate that, because I, in my young career, I've definitely seen a difference in how people turn out.
Sounds like
he's the real deal. Sorry, go ahead. We're hearing your radio in the background, and he's really
People have called in and claimed to be police officers in the past on this show, and it hasn't been so. So we have to have some level of skepticism. But the little talky-talky in the background sounds
that helps,
very legit.
Right?
If you're saying if I run over somebody's child while backing out of my driveway, that's one thing. If I run over somebody's child while backing out of my driveway while high as a kite, that's an aggravating circumstance.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yep.
Is it aggravating when I am sleepy when I get in the car, too, or is that totally okay?
Well, see, that's difficult, isn't it? Because we get a lot of sleepy drivers.
Right.
And it's not really their fault. They're working long hours trying to do the
right.
Best
to me,
they
it
can.
Doesn't matter if somebody's distracted because they just got high, whether they're sleepy, whether they're arguing with somebody in the back seat, whether they're on the phone arguing with somebody that they have a relationship with or whatever. The reason is they're not paying attention when they run over the kid. To me, it's all the same crime. I don't think that they. It's like a hate crime. Well, I mean, it's still a.
Well,
go ahead.
The father of the classical school, Cesare Beccaria, he's one of the original thinkers in that classical school of criminology. He actually thought that if you were drunk and committed a crime, that you should be held less accountable because you weren't in your right mind.
Wow.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Here in Virginia, we have something called the ABC. That I think it's the Alcohol Beverage Control.
Yep.
A state-run agency that controls alcohol, has runs a state-run monopoly on distilled spirits, and has cops that enforce all sorts of stringent alcohol laws. And there are a lot of risks and dangers associated with alcohol consumption, of course. But if it's going to be something that's illegal, like cannabis, which isn't legal, and I don't know if it'll ever be legal in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the way it is here, if you're going to allow it. You're not going to run a state-run monopoly. But here's the other side of that. I'm a Muslim. I'm a practicing Muslim. I don't believe in the consumption of alcohol. I believe it has its negatives. Like, all things have its negatives and positives. Even says so in the Quran. But I don't want my tax, at the same time, as what I said previously, I don't want my taxpayer-funded state government running liquor stores and advertising.
The more libertarians the average person encounters, the less crazy the ideas seem. When the only person they've encountered who's a libertarian in their life is somebody who they heard on the radio, or one person they saw on the side of the road with a sign once, is honk if you hate taxes sign or something like that, then that's not going to have an impact. It's just something to talk about maybe over the water cooler, and that's about it. Whereas if they're hearing it because they've got libertarians that go to their church with them, they've got libertarians that work next to them at their workplace, they've got libertarians that are in the sewing club and the, radio club or whatever, sort of activities that they do. When they're encountering, and they're hearing it in the media, on television, on the radio, in print, on the internet, when they're getting hit with the ideas of liberty left and right, and when it seems like they can't go anywhere where they don't know somebody who's a libertarian, that's when it's going to become...
They have to start thinking about it.
Right.
At the very least, to come up with rebuttals.
Right.
Even if their rebuttals stink early on, like, but how come libertarian has never been tried anyplace else? Well, I've heard this this it's an argument from what they call argument from ignorance, mm-hmm. meaning simply because we don't know doesn't mean that it is not true.
I was just calling about Bitcoin, and I was just wondering what it was.
Bitcoin. You want to field this one, Mark?
Sure. Bitcoin's a computer program. What is special about it is that it created this this technology called the blockchain. This is an immutable ledger. That means it cannot be changed, and it exists on thousands of computers. That's why it can't be changed, because you could find one iteration of the blockchain and change it, but then it wouldn't match with the rest, and it would be quite obvious that there was a glaring difference in it. So this technology allowed the creation of a cryptocurrency online. And a cryptocurrency is a unit that is undestroyable, uncounterfeitable, fundamentally unhackable, but there can be hacks around it in the way that you don't set a dollar bill on fire when you steal it from somebody. You can change the owners. But anyway, that cryptocurrency is Bitcoin, and you can send it around the world in a matter of potentially, depending on how you want to do things, in a matter of minutes. I could send somebody in, say, North Korea, a Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin Cash transaction, or a variety of other cryptocurrencies, as long as they had access to the internet. That's one requirement here. It is internet money.
And this is the real paradigm shift. Is one of the things we talked about on KOMY and KSCO out in Santa Cruz earlier today with the station owner Michael Zwirling on his afternoon show there. We talked about the paradigm shift of getting government and banks out of the business of money and providing an opportunity for people to actually have the power of money in their own hands. So you're decentralizing the power of money. You're devolving the power of money. Like we were talking with Adam Kokesh earlier about devolving and decentralizing power. That already happened with Bitcoin. And the more popular it becomes, the more powerful the individual becomes. The people become over these bankers and governments. So that's kind of the bigger idea that's going on here.
If you support government currency, you also have to support the Great Recession we just came through, the housing bubble, the dot-com bubble, the what likely is going to be the education bubble in higher education. You have to support the Great Depression. You have to support the boom-bust cycle that has been created by this fiat currency system and the Federal Reserve.
This is the case of Rodriguez versus United States. It was 2015, and it was decided 6-2 by the U.S. Supreme Court. So that's a pretty strong decision.
Yep.
And it says that the police may not hold you during a traffic stop beyond the amount of time it takes to write you a ticket. So that's it. And they don't have 1 minute. They don't have 2 minutes. They can't detain you beyond the time it takes you to write the ticket and get you a dog. Now, a lot of times it takes 20 minutes, half hour, or even an hour to get a dog, depending on where you are.
If you choose to wait for that, expect terrible consequences.
Right. So you should...
Object.
It tells you what to do here, but what it boils down to is recording what's going on, making sure the officer knows that you're not consenting to a search. If he's done with the ticket, you ask if you're free to leave. If he says no, you get all this on the video, because if they bring the dog out, you are going to jail.
Mm.
And when you get arrested, you need to keep your mouth shut, ask for an attorney. And the attorney then can use all of this video evidence that you hopefully have recorded.
I've seen a lot of police encounters on video. I've been involved in them before. And there was one time when I thought, I know what I'm doing with, the police. I've got some experience. I'm just going to talk to them. And the more words that come out of your mouth, the closer you are to getting handcuffs put on you, no matter how experienced you are at interacting with the police. So the best bet is to just follow Kenny Souter's example and go look it up. Go look him up online and
take
watch the video.
I had to go and testify at his sentencing hearing in order to keep his butt out of jail for 6 months, which is what the prosecution was asking for. So please don't do what Ian did.
Right.
Because that was simply hubris.
No doubt about it.
I'm watching this advisory from the U.S. State Department that says, exercise, do not. Basically, they've got four advisory levels. One is exercise normal precautions, exercise increased caution, reconsider travel, and do not travel. And they've got Guerrero State is do not travel due to crime. And they're saying that things have gotten worse, and even Acapulco is not safe. And
do we know when they got upgraded? Just out of curiosity.
Well, this is dated January 10th, 2018.
Okay.
Now I went back and said, okay, well, now is this something recent, or is this something this is the government we're talking about here. Okay, so there may be other reasons why they're talking about this, but at the same time. I don't want to just blow this off completely because, so I went back and looked, and in 2015, they were talking about, there's crime there. In 2016, not a good idea to travel. But 2017, they were talking about increased crime, but it didn't reach the level of don't go there.
I want to know what the statistics are of Americans being robbed or whatever, extorted when they go down to Mexico. That's what my interest is. I can tell you that I spoke with Danny Sessoms of the Crypto Show. Yep. And he was driving the Dash RV. He drove it from Guerrero to Miami.
Whoa. That's a long trip.
The only trouble he had was in Florida. from a police officer. He said, as long as you stay on the toll roads or whatever, everything's fine. But he's in Guerrero living in an RV while he's
there right now.
Yeah. But he should have gone back. Mm-hmm. He's probably now in that state. And he and his wife are building an orphanage, working with orphanages there in Guerrero. And he's like, man, the states are violent. I got to get out of here and get back home. So one guy from Texas said.
So home for him is Mexico now?
That's what he feels like. Wow.
What's going on over in France? Not exactly a bastion of freedom or anything like that, but what's the latest?
Well, I think that there's this sort of, you know, the Me Too fervor. There's this rising third wave feminism thing and the idea that street harassment needs to be stopped.
Harassment?
Well, that's the terminology that's being used.
All right.
So the French government is planning a crackdown on the country's macho culture by launching a working group that will study the best way to outlaw street harassment. The country's listen to me, Ian.
Yeah.
The country's gender equality minister. I'm just going to go ahead and anglicize this as best I can. Marlene Schiappa has spoken of a gray area in French law between sexual harassment, which is already criminalized and defined as any sexual infringement carried out using violence, coercion, threats, or surprise.
Okay.
And innocent attempts at seduction. So there's a gray area between rape and seduction. And that gray area is apparently street harassment, or street harassment's there. Schiappa is setting up the cross-party working group along with the Interior and Justice Ministries. It will listen to expert views on the issue to inform a planned law that would define and punish street harassment so it is no longer tolerated in our society. I've had conversations online with women that claim that they should be able to walk down the street free from harassment. And look, I understand. I'd like the same thing. But you need to understand that this happens to men, too. Not exactly the same way, though. When I go to a big city, I don't think I can't remember any time that I spent any time in a big city and haven't been harassed and bothered by people who want money from me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It happens to me over and over again. I wish they didn't ask me. But in a country that has freedom of speech, well,
they have the ability to ask. As I pointed out before, there are a lot of statutes, as I understand them, of criminal harassment, where if you tell somebody to stop talking to you and they continue, then they've been warned that you don't want their approach, and there is a potential criminal charge.
And the difficulty in this is, how do you make it stop anyway?
Yeah.
If somebody's bothering you on the street, you know, following you a little bit or something like that, hasn't done anything to you, how are you going to get law enforcement involved? In what manner is this going to occur that wouldn't already be available to you?
Yeah, I personally think you are better off just walking away and, you know, leaving it alone. But how you would get law enforcement involved would be to call them and
sometimes that doesn't work. If you feel like you're in danger, probably the best thing to do is to, you know, find some kind of protective service, whether it's civilian or government.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.